I don't know where you are. When did you last see birds? That line is from a poem by Daniel Johnson. The question is directed to James Foley, the first American journalist beheaded by Islamic militants less than a month ago. The poem, In the Absence of Sparrows, was written for and about Foley, Daniel's longtime friend, during his captivity. Daniel is a teacher at 826 Boston, the National Writing Program for Kids. He's with us in the studio. And Daniel, so sorry. You were friends for, what, 20 years?
Yes, thank you. I met Jim in 1996. We both signed up to be teachers through Teach for America, and we met in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was teaching bilingual fifth and sixth grade students, and Jim was teaching history to middle school students.
So 20-year-olds with a big sense of wanting to make the world a better place. You both loved books, and you stayed friends. I mean, in part of the poem, in fact, you talk about his being missing. But part of it is a diary of your friendship.
You're right. He was named a godfather to my son Luca when he was missing in Syria. And, of course, the hope was that he would return and, you know, meet Luca. And so the poem really served as a way for me to speak to him directly. The fact that we couldn't be in communication, and then on top of that, just this crushing worry about his safety, I turned to poetry as a way to speak to him directly.
Well, we heard the words asking the question, where are you? You know, are you seeing birds? By the way, the title, The Absence of Sparrows, is...
You know, sparrows are really, in most people's lives, they're everyday companions. I see sparrows in front of my house every day at our bird feeder. And in the cramped, dark basement where Jim was held, he was cut off from so many things, from bird songs, from books and the people he loved. So that title came to me in that way.
So we hear about your thoughts about his being held in captivity and you're wondering about that. But then also, as we said, there's this sort of diary of your lives together. There's one passage. This is when you'd heard about a story when he was up on Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. You tell me, I mean, who was this person that you knew and that you're trying to describe in this passage before we hear some of it?
So Jim told me that he had once gone skitching, which is a term I'd never heard. And skitching is, it's a combination between kind of skiing and hitching, in which you, you know, tie a ski rope onto the back of a station wagon and then someone skis behind. And Jim mentioned that he and a friend had actually lost this friend's station wagon through the ice. And so I had that detail to work on. And then as a writer, I created the surrounding details.
Could you just read the first few lines? Again, you're speaking to your friend Jim Foley, describing what he did on this lake.
You cranked the Pixies louder, cut the lights, and steered Billy's grandma's Chrysler onto the Winnipesaukee ice. The moon flamed bright as a county coroner's light. You revved the station wagon's engine. Billy tied a yellow ski rope off the hitch, flashed a thumbs up, and you punched the gas. 5, 15, 20, 25 miles per hour, towing Billy, skating in high-top sneakers across the frozen lake.
But then, of course, the car crashes through the lake.
In seconds, it was gone. You gave Billy's grandma a potted mum and a silver balloon. Standing on her screened-in porch, you mumbled an apology. What am I supposed to do now? She asked. What the hell do I do now?
Well, of course, now we're back in real time because that echoes, I'm sure, what you're all saying. What the hell do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
He was taken once before. You tried to write a poem then. Why didn't it work then?
You know, I kind of wrestled with it and then, you know, it lay dormant. But I then returned to the poem when Jim was held in Syria, and after writing In the Absence of Sparrows, rockets concussed, guns rattle off. When those lines came to me, it became clear to me that I was writing a poem about Jim. And, you know, I think on some level that my hope was that if I could put the right words down and combine them in the right way, that he would return, which, you know, as a form of magical thinking. But then at the same time, I think was preparing for his loss as well.
You didn't want him to go to Syria after he was released from supporters of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya.
Right. I mean, Jim spent some time working a desk job at Global Post, and The last time I saw him, we had lobster rolls in downtown Boston, and it was a quick meeting. I think he was headed to the airport shortly after, and I said, please don't go back to Syria.
What did he say to you when you, such a friend, such a close friend, said, please don't go?
You know, Jim was one of those people. I mean, really, just a great listener and, you know, always one who I think put, you know, concerns for his friends, you know, especially like his guy friends. You know, he always put those front and center. You know, he would be the guy to, you know, pick you up at the airport, you know, even if he was, you know, late by an hour. And I know that he really felt that this work was his calling.
If that was his calling, to tell other people's stories, do you feel now that it's yours to tell his? I mean, that story about the lake and about his wanting to teach kids when he was 20, and this really does fill out this picture of this person that we lost.
I do feel it's my charge on some level. I mean, you know, he was cut down really in the prime of his life, and, you know, he had so many stories to tell. You know, given the first image of Jim in a orange jumpsuit in the desert with his captor standing over him, that was haunting, you know, for me and for so many other people, his friends and his family. And I felt like, you know, I could provide a counter narrative on some level, try to overwrite. You know, if people had never met Jim, those final images, that really wasn't Jim. So that's one of the reasons that I did it. And to be able to respond artistically and poetically, I mean, you know, to what feels so senseless and brutal, I think there's something activist about that too. So, you know, that Jim's story needs to live on, and that, you know, that Jim won't be forgotten.
I'm going to have you read more of it. And I can see this is hard for you to do.
In the absence of sparrows, the front page story says you've been missing since November 22nd, 2012. Everything else it doesn't say. In the absence of sparrows, you simply wandered off past the Sunoco, pockets stuffed. The door to your apartment is open still.
So combating a horrendous image with a poem.
Yeah, that's, I mean, my hope, of course, was that Jim would return and I could show this poem to Jim as we'd done, you know, for years and say, you know, am I getting this right? Is the scene on the lake, you know, is this how it was? And, you know, in this case, I have to trust that, you know, I've gotten it right.
Something tells me that you did get it very right. That's Daniel Johnson. His poem, In the Absence of Sparrows, was written for and about his friend James Foley, who, of course, was killed by Islamic militants less than a month ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll post the entire poem at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.